الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله أوله بلا أول كان قبل وآخره بلا آخر يكون بعده الذي قصرت عن رؤيته أبصار الناظرين وجزت عن نعته أوهام الواصفين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين بالقاسم المصطفى محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال أمير المؤمنين في مناجاة شعبانية بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولسان رفعه إليك صدق صدق الله أمير المؤمنين. The second night, which we usually tend to discuss the Masaib of Hazrat Hur, as we know the very meaning Hur, which means freedom. We talked about Hazrat Muslim last night, and it seems to be a relationship with these discussion that comes about, particularly the events or the historical events, and that seemed to be the most attractive part of many of our youngsters, for them to really understand the fazail or the philosophical discussion. Perhaps it's not 100%, but still, because I remember when I was a child attending the majalisis, the best part for me was the historical event that usually is attended in the Masaib or in the form of Masaib. So tonight we will be talking about Hazrat Hur alayhi salam, which itself means freedom. And to begin with, we said about Hazrat Muslim alayhi salam, which is taslim, which is surrender to the command of the Mawla. And we talked about Hazrat Muslim. And right after that taslim, after that surrendering, is really freedom. You know, a person who really surrenders to God, he's really a free man. He achieves that freedom. And the discussion of Masaib also have a relation with that of Hazrat Hur, where he freed himself and he joined Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and he sacrificed his life for Imam Hussain. Last night we talked a little bit about the dua that is usually recited, and I would once again point out a few points from it, which we said Allahumma adkhil, as we said bismillah billah, that the dua that we recite before entering the before beginning of a ziyarat or entering the shrine, which is we ask for an entry, a sitq mudkhila sitqin wa akhrijni mukhraja sitq وَجَعَلْنِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ سُلْطَانًا نَسِيرًا. Sidq, which means truthfulness, and we seek in the munajat which I recited in the munajat of Shabaniya, there is a phrase which says that, O Allah, provide me with a tongue that speaks the truth and through which it elevates. And there's a verse in the Quran which also says that kalame tayyib, a good word, it elevates, it goes towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So speech is very important, and we have to pay attention to this. Sometimes there are certain words we say unknowingly as part of our culture, you know, like Western culture, or things that have no meaning. For instance, Salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So therefore, one have to be very careful in terms of the words that one use, because that kalima, that word elevates, means that we are elevating, you know, through that speech. That's why there is emphasis of Quran and recitation of Quran. When we are reciting Quran, you know, these words and us with these words, we are elevating ourselves towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the best speech is indeed the Quran. That is why Allah says in the Quran that, is there any hadith truthful than the hadith of Allah? You know, that is the most truthful hadith. So when a person recites the truthful hadith, he is elevating himself. So this dua is also pointing out to that, O Allah, provide me with a tongue, you know, provide me with a lisan, with a tongue that is truthful and it elevates. You know, when it is truthful, it will elevate. So when we are asking that, oh Allah, make us entry, a truthful entry, meaning that my entry, if it is truthful, it will elevate. I will go higher. And we said that truthfulness is that we regard ourselves as nothing. We are faqir. You know, when we enter in these majalis, as we said, these dahe, these 10 days that we are having, if we enter with that truthfulness, then, you know, we will be elevated. But if we hold ourselves, you know, some sort of, you know, if we regard ourselves of something, then, you know, then we are not entering really with that truthfulness. So, in the margin, I would mention this sidq, this truthfulness is a quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always want the qualities that He has, these qualities to be seen in us. He wants us to become God-like. And He has created Adam in the image of God, right? That very famous hadith, that Adam, that insan have been created in the image of God. So when insan have been created in the image of God, He wants our soul to be God-like as well. So that is why you will find all the qualities that is within Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this should be in us. So as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truthful, He wants us to be truthful as well. And you would find, for example, you know, just occurred that hal jazaul ihsan illa al ihsan, right? You know, if we does ihsan, you know, and the return of this ihsan is the best, and one have to be returned the ihsan in the best way possible. You know, if I say salam, I should be having wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I should add something, I should return that, right? So therefore, when we are talking about this ahsan, and as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do ahsan, and Allah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does ahsan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be truthful because He is truthful. So the same way, when we look at, there's a verse in the Quran which says, Zikrullahil Akbar. The zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is akbar. Many have mentioned that zikrullahil akbar means the zikr of Allah is akbar. But the exegist, and all based on the hadith of the fifth imam, they say that zikrullahil akbar means that the zikr which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing is akbar. Which zikr is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing? It is really hal jazaul ahsan illa al ahsan. Imam Hussain alayhi salam did ahsan upon deen. And the zikr which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing of Hussein is akbar. And that is what, you know, because his zikr has been continuously carried out, you know, from the time of his shahadat up until now, and it will continue till the qiyamah.
I mean,
so the same way, those qualities that is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah wants these qualities in us. Sitq, ahsan, all of these qualities, He wants us, these qualities in us. So we find in the hadith where it says, do not look at the fasting and praying and namaz and salat of a person, but look at how truthful he is in his speech and how truthful he is in fulfillment of the amanat, or how truthful he is in his nature. So look at the nature of a person rather than looking at his namaz and fasting. Because namaz and fasting could become a habit, and it could be that a person is doing it for many other reasons. But when a person is truthful in his nature, when a person is truthful in fulfillment of the amanat, when a person is truthful in his speech, that is a true person. That is a true human being. So that is why it is really important to be truthful. I mean, the first thing, you know, that we teach is that we learn, and it is very much indebted in our nature to be truthful, to speak the truth. And this is common in all walks of the society, in all tribes, in all adyan, that truthfulness. You know, it's very important. So therefore, truthfulness is quite important. So now when we are saying, you know, an entry, you know, in this majalis or a place of worship that we enter should be sitq, is for that purpose, is for that reason, that we should enter these majalises, the sessions, the harams, you know, that we visit the places of ziyarat with that truthfulness, you know, our prayers with that truthfulness. And then the khuruj of it and the return when we come out of it will become truthful as well, you know. And what is khuruj when we look at when coming out? It's min al-dhulumati ila an-nur. You know, that's what it becomes. So when our entry becomes that with that sidq and truthfulness, and our exit will be once again with truthfulness, and now the first entry of ours, the first entry, which is the entry with truthfulness from our side, but the exit is from his side. So when we are truthful in entering it, the exit will be truthful from his side. And when it is from his side, that is the daraja of kamal, that is the level of perfection, you know, that one will reach. Now we will be raised to that level, and we have, and that is what is called that taslim. The truthfulness will only come, you know, if there is that taslim is there, if that surrender is there. Taslim, as we talked a little bit about as Muslim alayhi salam last night, we'll complete it tonight. And that is istislam, you know, which comes from talab taslim. You know, one really acquires that quality of surrendering to the will of Mawla, to Allah, to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we'll be talking about iman, this hadith also occurred in the discussion of the commentary of Aql and Jahl of Imam Khomeini, which is the hadith of our sixth Imam, Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam, where he talks about there's an army of intellect and there's an army of Jahl. You know, there's always battle going on between these two armies. Armies of intellect is fighting with the armies of Jahl. And there's a very interesting hadith, and many have written commentary upon it. So when he is discussing about istislam, about taslim, this hadith is brought. And that is, al-iman have four arkan. You know, arbaata, arkanun or ruknun. And number one is tawakkul. Number two is rida. Number three is tafweef. And finally is taslim li amri mawla. Taslim li amri Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So taslim is also part of iman, which we will eventually discuss in more detail what faith is, what iman is. However, taslim is part and parcel of iman. A person who is a mu'min, who have that iman, he has to surrender. So now this taslim is a soldier of aql, is a soldier of intellect. You know, a fitrat, and a true nature of man, which is not contaminated, will surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that nature, if that fitrat is contaminated, then it becomes, or it will rotten, meaning that his heart will not be salim, it will not be perfect, and it will have doubts. That is why it says, al-mu'min hayyanun wa layyanun. A mu'min is someone who is very soft, you know, very hayyan, and layyan, very lenient. A mu'min is very lenient, a mu'min is very soft. However, this being lenient and soft is vis-a-vis haq, is opposite to truth and reality. In front of truth and reality, a mu'min is very soft. He accepts, he surrenders. You know, and he's very soft and he's very lenient in front of haq. Whatever is given to him, he will accept. He's not rigid. And that heart, which is the heart, which is Salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The heart which accepts the truth, that heart is considered as a qalbin salim, a heart that is pure and that is salim. In explanation of this qalb salim, we have a hadith from the Imam which says, al qalb salim alladhi yalqa rabbahu wa laysa fihi ahadun siwa'un. A qalb salim, a heart which is salim, which is pure, is a heart in which there is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no one else. وَكُلُّ قَلْبٍ and every qalb فِيهِ shirkun, in every qalb in which there is shirk أو shakkun or shak فَهُوَ saqit. You know, that heart is deteriorated and destroyed. So a heart which have only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that heart is considered as salim. That heart is considered as pure and perfect. And heart in which there is shirk and shak. So this shirk and shak is opposite to taslim, is opposite to surrendering to the will of Mawla. So a heart that surrenders to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a heart that is pure and perfect, is a heart which surrenders. And opposite to that is shak, and also opposite to that, a heart which surrenders to the nafs, That is istighbar once again. He's talabing, he's trying to acquire istighbar. He's trying to be trying to do takabbur. He has become self-centered, his heart is selfish. Instead of having Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart, he has his own soul, he has himself. That is why he has his pride. And pride and takabbur, you know, being arrogant, you know, pride might be taken as, you know, in other meaning as well, that one have to be proud of his iman and faith. You know, not in that sense of the word, but pride in the sense of being, you know, having takabbur, meaning that being arrogant. So therefore, there is taslim, there is surrendering to the will of Mawla. Opposite to that is shak, you know, which is the soldier of ignorance, of, you know, of jahalat. And also, opposite to that taslim, surrender, is takabbur, is doing ghurur, is arrogance. Now, this arrogance, when the heart listens to his own, you know, desires only, then he's nothing but acquiring that arrogance, and that multiplies, that increases. On the other hand, if that heart surrenders to the will of Mawla, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have, you know, while knowing the heart of an insan, of a human being, that is why he has given different types of command. You know, if you look at it, little things. You know, when you go Hajj, you got to shave your head. Might not make sense how it has a value. But, you know, when you go to Hajj, you have a little taqseer. You know, you got to clip your nail. Come on, you know. But this is nothing but trying to train the heart to do that taslim. You know, trying to bring that command into our heart. In different ways. When you are fasting, you know, this is how you're supposed to, you know, behave. In terms of, you know, the method, proper method of fasting, when to open fast, when to break fast, what will happen, for instance. Salat, the same way. All of the commands, awamir, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is in order to train our heart so that it surrenders to the will of Mawla, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And while doing so, you know, this is what happens, right? When it's practicing it, the heart opens and it accepts the divine principles as well, you know, of existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Rasul, of Imamat, of Ismat, of Qiyamat, all that is accepted through this practical, you know, implication of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To the extent, if you look at the opposite, if we stop doing that, the heart tend to bring shak, doubts. Why? It doesn't matter if you pray this way or that way, for example. Oh, I accept, but however, I don't accept the rules in regards to heritage or so on and so forth. That shak, it multiplies. You know, it's my opinion or my understanding is how things are interpreted. I like this way or I like that way. Then it multiplies to the extent, you know, the prime example is, you know, ana rabbakumul a'la, which becomes Fir'aun. And if you look at it, the heart which doesn't surrender to the will of Mawla, that heart becomes arrogant, and an arrogant person is the most stupid person. If you look at the qualities of all of the arrogant nations and arrogant people, or arrogant people in, you know, arrogant nations in the past, civilization in the past, they all were very stupid. Fir'aun, the most stupidest person that ever one could imagine. When he has seen all of the tissa, all of the 9 miracles with his own eyes, if you and I were there, we will never follow to Hazrat Musa in the river of Nile. You know, that is a very stupid thing that one would do. One would say, okay, let them go. There's a bunch of Israelis and they want to, you know, this man, he wants to save his nation or a few bunch of people, you know, 400 or so, 600 as the Bible says. You know, however, we don't really find numbers as such, you know, how many were there. You know, a king of kings, head of, you know, Ramses II, he followed Musa alayhi salam in that Darya Nil, in that river, where obviously he will be drowned. So this really shows that how stupid that, you know, Fir'aun was. Where Hazrat Musa alayhi salam is saying that you will be the king. I don't want to be the king. I will make you the king. You will be Ramses II. You will rule Egypt. But accept that, you know, there is Allah. Except that I am the Nabi. I have nothing to do with you. I will just take this bunch of people who have been oppressed, you know, to the promised land. But he did not listen. You know, his position, his kingdom, everything would be in its place. But he doesn't want to accept. He doesn't want to taslim, you know, surrender. Why? Because he likes his own nafs. He likes himself. So when a person becomes selfish, when a person, you know, likes himself, he becomes arrogant. When he becomes arrogant, he becomes stupid. You know, every nation, you know, if you look at it, they might be the most powerful nation of the world in the contemporary period as well. But if you look at the study, the history of it, stupid mistakes over and over again. Whether that be Persian Gulf War or whether that be in the contemporary period, if you look at today. You know, the formation of these, you know, Al-Qaeda and all that, who paid for that? Who prepared them? Who brought them and we are suffering today? Stupid mistakes done in the past and up until today as well. The same thing, you know, with, you know, trying to drop weapons, eventually getting into the hands of, you know, the terrorist. You know, stupid errors one after the other. You know, doesn't really learn from it. So therefore, a person who becomes arrogant, who thinks that, you know, I am the, you know, sort of the head of the whole global power or world and I could do it, I have done this, I have done that, you know, it ends up nothing but, you know, making error after error. So therefore, when the heart taslim surrenders to the will of Mawla, then that heart, you know, becomes a heart which which will be raised by Mawla himself. That sidq will come and that exit from this world, meaning that from this temporary sort of zahiri physical world, will be of higher and lofty status. And even after that, you know, in barzakh and hereafter, it has its own journey to carry on. Salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So taslim is one of that quality where taslim is one of that quality which is required. Surrendering to the command, to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the true, in the sidqful fashion, in the truthful fashion. And one, when one does that, one would say that in the beginning it is just on the outward level, like we are all Muslims, you know, we accept the oneness of God and the Prophet and the Imams and the Qiyamah, and we try to do things. There is some sort of taslim, but this increases and multiplies. You know, on every instance, if we are even adhering to this outward taslim, it brings its own result, it brings its own color. Like for example, one might say, which is not the case, for instance, Hazrat Muslim alayhi salam, you know, where he surrendered, that Imam Hussein wanted him to go there, he did went, and he adhered and he stood fast to that command of Imam, and he sacrificed himself, right? He stood fast, he accepted that, and he made sure that it reaches its kamal and its perfection in fulfilling that command of Mawla. So same applies for us. You know, if we fulfill the command, the commandments, the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam and the Quran, what it is teaching us, what we know of, it will bring its own color, it will increase our daraja, it will take us on a different level in which we will be provided with deeper understanding of the divine realities that is existing. And at the same time, we will be fulfilling the human potential that is given to us of this dunya. Till the last minute, till that last breath, you know, we have to fulfill and we have to surrender to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why you have, you know, for example, the dua that is recited during the last hour of when a person is about to die, in which there is pronouncement of all that faith. So till that last breath of ours in this dunya, we have to surrender to the commandments, to the divine principles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that, that raja'un, you know, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raja'un, that return and that exit is for him. For him, you know, it is him who will take care of that. And that is why we see, for example, the remembrance of Hazrat Muslim alayhi salam, the remembrance of the Shuhada of Karbala, and all those, you know, who partake in remembering the Shuhada, they are all remembered with it. You know, in Pakistan, for example, if you look at it, and they have been, you know, they're steadfast to carry out the Azadari of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. In Saudi Arabia, in Bahrain, you know, they, you know, the Shia have always seen oppression right from the very beginning, but they stood fast, they carried out the Azadari of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, no matter where they went, and this message have been carried out and they are remembered. It is their zahmat, the pains that they have taken, and this Labbaik Ya Hussain is part of that. Whether that Labbaik be at that time where Hazrat Hur alayhi salam goes and join Imam Hussain alayhi salam, or whether that Labbaik be today, and we will be remembered, you know, and we will be baqi, you know, as long as, you know, Imam Hussain alayhi salam and his followers will be baqi. As they say that in Barzakh, the mu'mineen will have the opportunity to look at the face of Imam Hussain alayhi salam once a year. And that will provide them with such a nuraniyat that they will really yearn and wait for another year. And the hadith says, they will see the tajalli of Imam Hussain. Imagine the real face of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So tonight is the night of Hazrat Hur alayhi salam. And as we said, that freedom. Because Hazrat Hur alayhi salam, the meaning of Hur, where Imam Hussain alayhi salam mentions that last statement of Imam Hussain to Hur was this, that, oh Hur, you know, your mother have named him right. He named you right. That you are free. Free in this dunya and free in the hereafter as well. If you look at how Umar Sa'd and Yazid gathered different tribes to fight against Imam Hussain alayhi salam, through false accusation, through cheating, and Hur with his sort of men joined Umar Sa'd on one of that basis. Because Hur clearly mentions that I never imagined that they will go to this extent to really kill you, to really gather, you know, around you and would massacre you, knowing that you are from the family of the Prophet. And he was even uninformed of these letters that were sent from Kufa. So you could imagine that how the situation was at that time, that Hur, who is considered as one of the greatest horsemen, one of the greatest sort of, you know, renowned fighter, soldier, you know, commander, that he still is in a state of confusion, that really what's going on. And this has been seen in history as well, at the time of Amirul Mumineen, when he went to, you know, fight in the battle, in all these three battles that he fought, this state of confusion was always there. You know, when they went with Amirul Mumineen to fight with Muawiyah, you know, they did not join Amirul Mumineen as such. They were, you know, marching with Hazrat Amir to really see what comes after, and then they will decide later on. So this state of confusion was always there, you know. And this was once again coined by the, you know, by the political moves of Muawiyah, you know, to create that confusion. You know, today also we see that, you know, the people should be confused of what's going on. That's Muawiyah politics. You know, if one really notice that creating doubts in people, trying to make dummy enemies, you know, this is a typical Muawiyah style of politics, and that we see today, and that's why he was considered one of the greatest politicians, Muawiyah was. So that's what Hazrat Hur was shocked, because when he stopped Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and Imam Hussain insisted that the Kufans have called me and I'm going to Kufa, you know, to lead them. You know, 18,000 people supported, right? We talked about Hazrat Muslim. When Hazrat Muslim came, 18,000 people were in support of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. After which nobody really helped and assisted Imam Hussain. Nevertheless, if you look at the list of people who became shaheed with Imam, along with Imam Hussain alayhi salam, were from Kufa as well. And they were Kufans as well. Majority of them, you know, I would say, with greater certainty that they were Kufans. You know, they were from Medina and Makkah, Basra and all that, but Kufans were there as well. So here, when he stops Imam Hussain alayhi salam entering Kufa, Imam Hussein says that, you know, I have been invited and I have letters from them. And he showed them. You know, Imam Hussein asked his companions to bring these letters, and they emptied the bags in front of him. And they said, these are all the letters. He said, okay, now I have to send a message to Umar Esad, to Ibn Ziyad, to really, what's the taklif? You know, what shall I do really now? Because you have the right to go. Till then, we will camp here. And Jamaat prayer was established, where Hazrat Hur prayed behind Imam Hussein. This clearly shows his attraction, his loyalty to Ahl Bayt. That famous statement of Imam Hussein, when Hur stopped Imam Hussein, he says, may your mother cry on you. Hazrat Hur replied saying that if your mother was not Fatima, I would say the same thing. So once again, this points out to that what sort of personality Hazrat Hur was. To the extent on the day of Ashura, that finally Hazrat Hur sees that, no, it's happening. You know, what Imam Hussein was mentioning, that they are surrounded. And Hazrat Imam comes and delivers the speech on the day of Ashura. Nobody seems to move. After that, Zuhair, who was a Kufan, you know, who eventually joined Imam Hussein alayhi salam on his way back from Hajj, he comes and delivers a talk, thinking that he's from Kufa, perhaps the people in Kufa would listen to him. But still, nobody joined. Then Hazrat Hur, after this, when he joins Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you know, he comes and gives a talk. He said that I was with you, I was from you, you know, and now I have left. And I would ask you that what Imam is requesting, that a safe haven is provided to him, a safe place is provided to him, that where he leaves. Then Umar Esad said, no, you know, we really have to, you know, finish, you know, Hussein ibn Ali here. There is no way out of this, other than a war, other than a battle. Imam Hussein also tried his level best that there should be no bloodshed. You know, he even asked, provide me a safe passage, I will leave. You know, this clearly shows that Imam Hussein was invited. He wasn't going for a battle, you know, to fight as such. You know, he might have the ilm-e ghaib and all that, but while looking at the historical evidences, it was not. There's no such thing as war that Imam Hussein is about to, you know, wage a war as going to fight. No, he's been invited and he's going there. He's stopped there. Now he's asking that I'm with women and children. Provide me a safe passage. I will leave. I have nothing, you know, to do with you guys as such. But they said no. You know, you have to. We have to kill you, and that is the order of the Yazid, right? So now here, Hazrat Hur also. After which they say there were about 11 people who came from the army of Umar Esad and joined Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And in this also they were the children, the sons of Hazrat Hur alayhi salam. And now when Hazrat Hur, he thinks that he is responsible of bringing Imam Hussein alayhi salam to Karbala. So he has that guilt and remorse that he really wants to come out of it. And he seeks permission from Imam Hussein, please allow me that I go to the camps of ladies and I seek forgiveness from them. You know, for a commander-in-chief, for a person, a personality like Hazrat Hur, to really go in front of the ladies and seek apology and seek, you know, forgiveness from them is really, you know, a person have that courage, that sort of heart. Where he goes there, and he picks up the dust, the sand, you know, from the ground, and he puts it on his face. And he laments, and he cries. And he says that it is because of me that you've been surrounded by the enemies. And he seeks forgiveness. And Hazrat Zainab salamu alayha replies. He says, Hur, you know, you have come to support us. You have come, you know, and joined Imam Hussein alayhi salam to save Imam Hussein alayhi salam. You've been forgiven. However, this comes after where Imam Hussein, he himself said that, Hur, you've been forgiven. And now Hur says that, as I have and this guilt and remorse and I'm responsible, please allow me that I become the first shaheed here to go to the battle. Hur was granted the permission, and the children of Hur, according to one riwayat, says that we will go first before you, O father. They went and they fought and they were killed. And here Imam Hussein alayhi salam came and gave condolences, took care of Hazrat Hur alayhi salam. That is very difficult to really see the pain of the father. And once again, that reminds of the shahadat of Hazrat Ali Akbar alayhi salam. But here Imam is given condolences. You know, when someone who is elderly gives fursa and condolences, that really brings so much peace to the heart. You know, imagine if someone dies, if someone who is very sort of marja or famous, they call you and they say that, you know, we are really sorry for the loss and we really feel it. We feel so peaceful and peace in our heart. So here Imam Hussain alayhi salam gives condolences to her. That really clears that air. That really calms that heart. And here Hazrat Hur alayhi salam goes to the battle, where he fights furiously. Obviously, he's been known as a great soldier, you know, as a great fighter. When he fights, he's been attacked, you know, 30,000 plus soldiers we're talking about here. And they attacked him from all sides. And finally, when he falls from that mount, when he falls from that horse, he gives his salams to the Imam. Imam comes to his aid with Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam, with Hazrat Ali Akbar alayhi salam, with his companions. Here he comes and he places the head of Hur in his lap and cleans the blood that is there. And he notices that there is continuously blood flowing from his forehead and it is not stopping. Then he takes out a handkerchief, a piece of cloth, and he ties that cloth. The person is about to die, but look at the care of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Look at the love that Imam Hussain alayhi salam have. I mean, Imam Hussain came to Kufa because of the love of the Kufans that was there. Although the Kufan went against Imam Hussain alayhi salam. When Farazdakh meets Imam Hussain on his way to Kufa, Imam Hussain says, "What's up in Kufa? You know, what's the news in Kufa?" They say, "The hearts of Kufans are with you, but the swords are against you." Then Imam could have said, "No, I don't want to come." But Imam is the leader of the heart. Imam is the rahbar, is the king of the heart. The love of the Imam is the heart, is in the heart of every person, even if that be Ibn Muljim, even if that be Shimr. Why were they crying? Once they killed Imam Hussain, they themselves were crying, but at the same time carrying out the horrendous act, because they have that love. But their nafs have overcome this love and forcing them to carry out these acts. So therefore here Imam Hussain alayhi salam, when he loves those people who went against him so much, imagine Hur. So he takes this piece of cloth and he ties onto the forehead of Hazrat Hur alayhi salam. The blood stops. And here, when Imam Hussain gazes, Hazrat Hur looks in his eyes and eases him by saying that, "Oh Hur, your mother have named you right. That you anta Hur fi dunya, anta Hur fi akhirah. You are free in this dunya, oh Hur. You are free in the akhirah." There's a report, a historical report, that when Hur's body was taken and buried by his tribe, because he belonged to the Kufan and he was considered as a leader, so he was taken, his body was buried. Later on, when the history was foretold to the kings who were ruling at that time, the king said that as he was responsible to bring Imam Hussain alayhi salam in Karbala, we'll dig open his grave. They digged open his grave and they found his body to be intact, to be perfect. And as they have said that there was a handkerchief, a cloth which was tied to the head of Hur by Imam Hussain alayhi salam, that belongs to Fatima and we'll take it out. And as soon as they take this cloth out, fresh blood started flowing from his forehead. A gift that is given by Hussain is never taken back. A gift that was given by Imam Hussain alayhi salam to Hur. And that was the cloth of Fatima salamu alayha. And as you all are aware, that whoever comes in the majalis of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam and who shed tears for Imam Hussain and lovers of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, these tears are taken in the handkerchief, in the cloth of Fatima salamu alayha. And this becomes the source of shafaat. This becomes the source of our intercession in the hereafter. الله لعنة الله على قوم الظالمين سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون فاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها وسر المستودع فيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمك بمولانا أبو عبد الله الحسين عليه السلام يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك يا قاضي الحاجات يا كافي المهمات إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. There's a very beautiful dua or shair in Farsi which I would like to share with you brothers and sisters, and it says قيامت بي حسين غوخا ندارت قيامت بي حسين غوخا ندارت شفاعت بی حسین معنا ندارد حسینی باش که در محشر نگوین چرا پرونده امضا ندارد. It says قیامت without حسین is no stability. شفاعت, the intercession without حسین have no meaning. The intercession without حسین have no meaning. Be حسینی so that on the day of judgment they should not say that why your Amen Amal, why the book that have been given to you doesn't have any signature on it. So he's saying, he's asking, the poet is asking us to be Husseini. And you all attending, bringing your children here, it's all signs of being Husseini. Make sure that you attend all of these Azadari. The presence of Zahra Salamullah Alayha is here, of Masumin Alayhim Salam is here. And these nights will be the nights will intercede us in Barzakh and at the time of death, and also when we'll be raised in Qiyamah. Salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.